microwaved coffee.
Writer, you got to read more. And I'm like, God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm not a writer. Yeah.
Don't. And then, yeah, everyone's like, even like comedians who are writers.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you just got to read more. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, God damn. Yeah. So I'm trying to read more. I'm trying to finish a book this week.
A book a day.
And then I'm not going to say I'm going to read a book a week, but I'm going to try to read a book a month.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I think that's baby insane, steps. But I think I can do it.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, but I've been reading the stupid Witcher book for like a year now. And so I'm going to try to finish it this week so mm-hmm. I can start another one. And then, yeah, I'm going to try to read a book a month. I'm not crazy like Vanessa, who reads like 3 books a day.
I know, yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how to read so fast. Like, I cannot read that fast.
I just get distracted with everything.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm reading and I start thinking about, like, something I have to do or...
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that.
What's his name? A comedian. I think it's Anthony Jeselnik.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's like
brilliant. That he reads 100 pages, and if mm-hmm. by 100 pages he's not hooked, he stops reading it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then he like will read something else. So like the mind wandering thing, like he. If that starts happening to him over and over, even at 100 pages, he's done.
Yeah, because he's like, I'm not going to be able to finish.
Yeah, this. He's like, it's just a waste of time. So then he'll pick up a different book. I'm like, that's a good idea. Witcher is really good.
But.
I feel like I'm a really slow reader. I've gotten faster, I feel, but I still feel like I'm really slow. So like. I'm reading and I'm like, God, I still have like 250 pages. But yeah, so I guess if I just do it more often, I'll probably get faster. Hey, like fun note, last week, I didn't even realize it. Not fun note, sad note, but we did the Marvel thing and it was on Thursday when we released our podcast. Mm-hmm. Last week was, I think, the 2-year anniversary of Stan Lee passing away.
Oh, really?
We did it like at a right time, but I didn't look up like when he passed away because I didn't want to.
Yeah.
But yeah.
No. He was one of the Jeopardy answers.
Yeah. And I saw it because I follow Kevin Smith on Instagram, and he posted that it had been 2 years that Thursday, and I was like, oh, that's insane! I didn't say anything about it because I didn't want. It's so sad.
I see what you mean by it. Fun note. Well, not really fun.
Yeah.
Not
really fun note.
I was at the gym. I remember.
Yeah.
It's the gym when I found out.
Wait, was I at the gym?
What's the gym?
Where was it?
I know. What is that?
We went out for like the first time in like forever because Vanessa passed her final, so she wanted to go.
Yeah, I got to celebrate a little bit.
Yeah, she just wanted to go to the mall and like
yeah,
buy something or just like do something because she hasn't been doing any.
Yeah, treat herself.
Man, yeah, there's like the mall's like a ghost town almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like there isn't anyone. We ate at Tender Greens. Outside.
Did she get her cookie?
Kind of like takeout. No, we didn't get cookie.
Cookie?
Yeah.
Cookie. Huh?
Cookie. But yeah, it was weird. The only thing that had lines were like that Korean bakery, what's it called? Something degrees.
85C.
Oh, 85C.
Yeah, that one.
Like something... Yeah.
Yeah, that place had a line. We did go there because I wanted coffee, which sucked because I was like, I really want a coffee because it was like nice and cold and UTC is like an outdoor. And I was like, And then I was like, how am I going to drink this with the freaking mask on?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would have been perfect. And then by the time I drank it was like warm. And I was like,
Where'd you guys go? You went to Fashion Valley?
And UTC. And then we went to Nordstrom's. Well, we went there because Vanessa had a gift card for Westfield.
And oh, right, right.
The only Westfield that has a Nordstrom's is UTC now. So, yeah. A lot of places are closed, though, too.
A lot of people didn't make it.
Yeah. Other than that, my life is pretty boring. I clean a lot.
Same.
Wash a lot of dishes. Fun stuff.
Look out the window, sadly.
Yeah.
Yearning for a time when we can go out.
Play with the little kitten. That's fun.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The little kitten.
You have a little guy that hangs out.
Yeah. He comes in like he owns the place. And he's always like super dirty. It's like a little child. Like his face, like his nose is always super dirty.
He's like a little spunky, like.
Yeah, a little ginger. Like his Annie, hair is all spunky.
Annie type, like.
Yeah.
Spunky kid.
Little ginger cat.
Yeah.
Like Oliver.
How about you guys? Like nothing. Oliver. Oh, Oliver. Yeah, he actually is. So we should have called him Oliver, but we call him Archie.
Yeah.
Archibald.
Archie.
That's okay. I like Archie too.
Yeah.
I went to Dana Point with my parents this weekend.
Oh, nice.
And then we went to San Juan Capistrano a little bit. I wasn't that busy actually. But yeah, we stayed there a little bit, went biking, and then went swimming once. I guess they do a lot of people swimming, but like we like checked and no one was there, and we're like, okay, like now's our chance.
Yeah.
So we swam a little bit and then played ping pong with my dad. We ate some really good barbecue, had some good coffee. It was just a nice break, I guess.
Yeah.
From work and from just being at home.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, but made me realize that like I don't really want to go out because there's still people that just like.
Yeah. Every time I go out, I'm like, ugh, why did I leave the house? Some of these people are not being careful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Adrian and I have been planning on going out for like 3 weeks and we keep like texting each other like, okay, if it's still open, like this is what we'll do. We'll keep our we're like trying to plan out our like one dinner. We're like, okay, we'll keep our masks on like the whole time and like unless we're taking a bite or something. And
I think I'm able to do it.
Yay. I'm glad.
Yeah, I wasn't sure because Vanessa's still... Like, even though she took her final, she has, like, a ton of stuff to do.
Yeah, her hours and stuff.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. It might just be me, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm down to go.
Nothing, yeah, I'm
not,
you know.
I'm still not sure because I'll take you some photos of... to my friends for a Christmas card or something, but it's not it's not like Christmas fully canceled, planned.
I know Christmas is canceled.
Yeah, but they could still send the card. I don't have to go anywhere.
Christmas is canceled,
dude. Put up their Christmas decorations like right after Halloween, like the next day.
I was like, they did.
There's no rules. It's just like, fuck it. I saw somebody bought the on 8th Street, like right by your house, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
This house has the 13-foot skeleton from Home Depot. And they kept it up and they just put a Santa hat on it. And I was like, that's what's up. I was like.
Nice.
That's up.
That's what I would do. Like the least amount of effort. And just like, how can I make this work for both?
Yeah. Well, shit.
We're not gonna celebrate anything.
I'm just going to my parents' house and that's it. We normally celebrate both Christmas and Thanksgiving with Kyle's family during the day and then my family at night. But we're not gonna be meeting with Kyle's family. Kyle's family is not even getting together. Just if we've seen each other. So like. They babysit our nephew a lot, so they're gonna have Thanksgiving dinner with his brother, like just his brother, the kid, and them, and then we're just gonna go over to my parents' house because we since we babysit Kenny a lot too. But yeah, it sucks because like I haven't seen my uncle and aunt in forever, and I'm really close with them. And I thought that at least for Thanksgiving, we were planning for Thanksgiving for them to come over.
Yeah.
They were going to like quarantine for 2 weeks before they came over. And now they're like, no.
Yeah. We're not doing anything. Well, because of the whole Corona thing, but also because Vanessa's like still doing hours and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to stay here at home, and I'm going to like try to find like a small turkey or something. Someone told me that Sprouts has like they'll do like a half a turkey or like a turkey breast or something like that. So like you don't have to buy the whole turkey.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My mom did that once. She just got like the turkey breast because it was only like two people that wanted some. So
yeah. So I think I might do that and then just do like regular Thanksgiving things like stuffing and mashed potatoes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, you know, just to kind of feel, make her feel like
we're, like you're doing something.
For the holidays, yeah, a little bit.
Because she can do anything. But yeah. So, I mean, it's just going to be small. And Christmas, we'll see, I guess, how everything is. It's not looking good, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But I don't think. We already told our family, like, we're not getting anyone anything. And
yeah, I think we should just skip it.
Yeah, year. I mean, yeah. What's the big... Like, I think we should skip it. And then once we're, like, officially in the clear, like, we should just throw, like, a huge-ass party.
Well, yeah,
like the world should like everyone get on the street,
yeah,
potluck, just party outside.
Taiwan celebrated their 200th day without a single case. Dang. By throwing a giant music festival,
and then everyone got it.
No, they're fine. Everyone's good.
Yeah, they're fine, and I think Australia celebrated like 60 days or 30 days or I don't remember what it was, but they also didn't have anything. But because they had like a strict thing the last time it spiked, the government did like a strict thing, and like if they catch you outside, like you get fined or arrested. And if they catch that you were doing something and like they obviously didn't catch you, they'll fine you like later.
Yeah, that's what like needs to happen. That is the only way people are going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, this is Microwave Coffee Podcast, and I'm Kajan Zendi.
And I'm Ivan Ortega.
And I'm Justin Park.
Before I start the story, I just want to make it clear that alcoholism is not funny. I'm not laughing at alcoholism. It's a very serious disease. I get that. That being said, this story is hilarious, and I could barely get through the research without laughing. Like, bursting out in random laughter. So you know, drink responsibly. That's what I'm gonna say. Anyways, we're gonna talk about a man named Iron Mike Malloy. So we don't know much about Mike. He's kind of like this mystery character. The only thing we do know is that he was born in County Donegal in Ireland in 1873. No idea how, but he lived in the U.S. He came to the U.S. at some point. He lived in New York, and he would do odd jobs around the city. He worked as a firefighter once. He was a street cleaner. He was a coffin polisher, which I didn't know that was a job, but I guess so.
Someone's got to do it.
Someone's going to do it. So a few odd jobs here and there, but he was mostly homeless and an alcoholic. So one thing that he did always managed to get a hold of was booze. At this point, it is New York in 1932. And so we're kind of nearing the end of Prohibition. Prohibition at this point has been going on for 12 years. There's a lot of speakeasies. And there's one speakeasy that was his favorite. And it belonged to 27-year-old Tony Marino. Back in the day, during Prohibition, there was a big difference between speakeasies. If you were in a rich area, it would be a nice place, still hidden, but it was nice, quality liquor, stuff that you would normally buy, you know, at the store when it was legal. Mm-hmm. But if you were lower class or working class, and if you were Mike, who lived in the Bronx, you were getting some, you know, shady speakeasies, and they're most likely serving you bathtub gin or liquor that's cut with, like, dangerous poisons like methanol, wood alcohol. Yeah, delicious.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I had this teacher in college for like a day because I crashed the course and then it was full, so I couldn't get into it. But this teacher that I had, she like knew everything. Like, she knew a bunch of random facts about everything, and she just, the first day, she just gave us a bunch of like random facts. And one of those was about happy hours. So she said, oh, do you guys know how happy hours started? And we were like, no. And she said, it started back in the late 1800s during the American West. And so on payday, the saloons would get pretty ladies to stand outside and lure men in. They would offer food and drink specials. And then that's how they would get them to fill their bars.
Yeah.
So happy hour has been around for a while. So to get people to his speakeasy, Tony had a plate at the end of the bar with cold cuts and oysters, which I'm like gagging just thinking about it.
This sounds pretty gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting. So Mike was a regular at Tony's bar, and Tony kind of started to feel bad for him because he was clearly homeless. So he offered him, he says, you know, since you're here all the time, why don't you work for me? And you can stock bottles, sweep, like clean up the place. So of course he took it. And at this point, we think Mike was around 60 years old. So he was like an older guy. The problem was that Mike was drunk more than he was working. And so he would just drink all the time. Mike was first introduced to Tony through their mutual friend, 27-year-old Francis Pasqua. Pasqua was an undertaker and also a regular at Tony's bar. One night in February of 1932, Pasqua and another acquaintance of his, 27-year-old father of three, Daniel Kreisberg, were talking to Tony. And Tony's like, you know what? Business isn't doing so well because they were in a lower part of, you know, like a lower class area. People would order drinks and then be like, oops, I don't have any money with me. And so they were like constantly opening tabs and not paying them. So he's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, business is doing really, really bad. Another reason that his business is doing bad is that this place was like toe up from the flow up. Like, it was ugly. They said it had like four tables, beat up sofa, and a bathroom that was separated by a beaded curtain. So it's not like the classiest joint. Like, you're not going there on a date, you know? Pasqua had an idea to help out Tony, the bar owner. He said, why don't we take out a life insurance policy on Mike, kill him, and we'll be the beneficiaries. They planned on taking out life insurance policies for about $5,000. They would split it three ways. So they were like, yeah, sure, this will be easy. Like, this guy's drunk, you know, whatever. And Mike didn't have any family. Like, he was homeless. So, like, no one was going to care if this guy, like, kind of disappeared. Now, this idea wasn't out of nowhere. Pasqua had some experience. The year before, he had met a homeless woman named Mabel Carson, and he ended up taking out a $2,000 life insurance policy on her, which is about $35,000 today. He gave her a ton of alcohol. He doused her sheets in ice water, and then he pushed her bed under an open window. And of course, she died. The cause of death was pneumonia. And because it was not a murder, it didn't look like a murder, he got the money. Unfortunately for Mike, he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. Like, he wasn't the smartest guy. He was kind of like ditzy and didn't really pick up on things. And then, of course, it didn't help that he was drunk all the time. So the guys suggested they take out a life insurance policy on him. And Mike was like, okay, and went with them. Because you have to have the person there with you in order to, like, open it up. They went through Prudential, which I was like, that's crazy. I didn't know it existed for that long. So Prudential's been around for like ages, apparently. So they go to Prudential and they take out a double indemnity life insurance policy for $2,000. And then a few days later, they go to the Metropolitan Insurance Company and they take out another life insurance for $3,000. There was, yeah. So before the policies go through, they have to be reviewed by both companies and upper management. And when they review it, they're like, that's kind of weird. These beneficiaries are not related at all to this guy. So like, why are they the beneficiaries if they're not like relatives or whatever? So they turn it down. They turn down all the life insurance plan. They're like, nope, can't do it. And without knowing, or without Mike knowing, they create a fake identity for him. So they open up life insurance policies under the name Nick Mallory. So they change his name. Now, the problem that they have now is that the guys who originally went, they can't go back because they've already seen them. Yeah. And they already saw that they've tried to open up a life insurance policy. So they get another guy, this other friend named Joe Murphy, to pretend to be his brother. And so he would be the beneficiary. They successfully end up opening a total of 3 policies, totaling around $3,500, which is around $65,000 today. And it was 1 from Metropolitan Insurance Company and 2 from Prudential, which I don't know how you can get 2 from the same place, but whatever. I thought that was kind of weird. And I couldn't really find more information about that. But anyways, so they go back to the bar and they stock it with liquor. And Tony, the bar owner, he's like, listen, Mike, I feel kind of bad. You seem down on your luck. And I've been seeing that I can't really compete with these other speakeasies. So I'm going to have to shut down soon. What I'm going to do is I'm going to forgive all your bar debt and you can just drink as much as you want. And Mike is like, fuck yeah. So he's like, all right. Yay. Yeah. He's in Disneyland at this point. So...
California Adventure.
Yeah, California Adventure. So the gang sits with Mike and they drink. That night, they're joined by another man named Tough Tony Bastoni. They drink. That name, I just can't. Yeah. I'm like, it's so fun. It's like it sounds like a fake mobster name.
Yeah. Tough we Tony need Bastoni. Good names for each other.
Yeah, we do.
good names.
We need to
Iron Mike them. And
Iron Mike, Tough Tony Bastoni.
Bastoni.
Yeah. Tough Tony Bastoni. So they drink, and Mike drinks, and he drinks, and he drinks. Hours go by, and this guy doesn't even look buzzed. And they're like, what the fuck is happening?
That's you.
So after a while, and a disturbing amount of drinks, he gets up, and he is like, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. And he just walks out of the bar. He didn't stumble, nothing. He's not slurred his words. Like, this guy's, like, totally cool. He comes back the next morning, and he does the same thing. Drinks and drinks and drinks.
What?
This goes on for 4 days. And the guys are like, bruh, what the fuck? This guy should be dead by now. He's had so much liquor. So now they have another problem on their hands. Mike is going through the entire supply of alcohol and it's costing them a lot of money. So this plan's getting really expensive. And Joe Murphy suggests giving him a few drinks of regular liquor to kind of like trick him to, you know, warm him up. And then little by little start adding wood alcohol into his regular alcohol. Just to give you an idea, even a sip of wood alcohol can cause organ failure, hemorrhaging, within hours or even minutes. People were known to die a lot back in the day when they went to these shady speakeasies because they were watering them down with these. I mean, people would die almost instantly. And that's only if you have a little bit. So they start giving him the liquor and they see no signs of poisoning. Like nothing. He's been drinking for hours. And
please tell me it's going to be one of these things where they're like, maybe there's nothing in it, and they start drinking it and then they die. Like in the movie. are you sure you did it? Yeah. And then they taste it.
Right?
Like, boom, yeah. Just pass
it. So they're getting a little frustrated. So they just start giving them straight shots of methanol, which is the wood alcohol. Poison. They're just giving him straight shots of poison.
Yeah.
He has a few, and then Mike raises his glass and says, quote, this is the best stuff I've ever had. Oh, my God. So they're like, oh, my God, this scam. This goes on for days. He keeps drinking the poison. Nothing's happening. The guys are now spending a lot of money on wood alcohol, which is pretty cheap, but the amount that he's drinking is just too much. Finally, after a few days, a ton of poisonous drinks, Mike starts slurring his words, and he can't really stand up straight. And Mike collapses. The guys are relieved, so they start talking about what to do with the body. And then they hear snoring. Mike was not dead. He was sleeping. So Tough Tony was like, we should just fucking shoot this guy. And the gang was like, no, we can't do that because it has to look like an accident. Because it's a life insurance policy. You can't kill it. It can't look like murder.
Yeah.
So after a bit, Mike gets up and he thanks his friends for the drinks. And he says, I'll see you tomorrow. So Francis Pasqua, the Undertaker guy, he remembers that he once had to bury a guy who died after drinking wood alcohol and oysters. There was something about that combination that was really dangerous. So Marino takes the oysters that he normally has on his gross lunch plate and he soaks them in wood alcohol for days. Now, at this point, they've interviewed customers or people that have gone into the bar, and Mike is consuming so much of the wood alcohol that they said that the bar smelled like a chemical plant. Like, it was unbearable. People couldn't even walk in there because it smelled so bad. Mike drinks and eats his oysters. Same thing happens. He's drinking. He's perfectly fine. And then he leaves for the night. He comes back the next day and he asks for another drink and some more of those delicious oysters. So they give him more. So the guys notice that Mike likes to make some little sandwiches with the sardines that are on that gross lunch plate. So they offer him a sardine sandwich, and it's been laced with metal shavings, carpet tacks, and glass. He finishes the sandwich, and he says, that was delicious. May I have another? So they make him another one.
Jeez.
So when Mike passes out drunk again, Tough Tony says he has an idea, and the guys are like, Tony, I swear to Christ, if you suggest shooting him again. And he's like, no, I got another idea. They're like, no, we're not going to shoot him. So he says, no, I have another idea. Why don't we pour water on him and leave him outside? Because it's snowing and it's like freezing out. And so when he passes out drunk again, they drag his body to a park. They douse him in cold water and then they leave him on a bench. The men walk into the bar the next day.
He's sitting there.
Confident.
Morning.
Yeah. They walk into the bar the next day, confident that they've killed Mike. So Marino goes down to the bar cellar, and there, on the floor, is Mike. So he wakes up and stretches, and they're like, hey, buddy, how are you? And Mike says, quote, I have a wee bit of a chill.
This is fake.
I can't handle this guy. He's amazing. So they're desperate now because this is costing them a lot of money. They haven't received a penny from the life insurance policy.
Wee bit of chill.
And so Tough Tony says, look, I know this cab driver who'll hit him with his car and that'll for sure kill him. I mean, like, that's gotta kill him, right? So they get a guy named Hershey Green, who's a cab driver and Tony's friend. I don't know if you guys are keeping track, but at this point, the money went from being split three ways to now like six. There's like six guys involved now because they just keep bringing people in. So they get him drunk again and they take him out to a secluded road, and the cab driver tries to hit him, but he keeps moving out of the way whenever they try to hit him. So two of the guys hold out his arms, like, you know, opposite directions and kind of like make him stand there and then let go at last minute. And then Mike jumps out of the way. And then they do it again and he jumps out of the way again. So finally, on the third try, he's hit by the car. His body goes flying off the side of the road into a ravine. So they go to retrieve the body, positive he's dead. But before they can do that, they see a police car come by. So they panic and kind of speed off. The next day, they're looking in the papers for a hit and run. They don't see anything. They call local hospitals, nothing. Like, no one's ever heard of the guy. So the guys go out and they start looking for a lookalike. So now they're looking for a second person to kill for this. And they find him. He's a homeless man named Patrick Murray, and he's a spitting image of Mike. They hit him with his car. His body tumbles down a hill, and they can't find him. So they've lost two bodies now. They're gone. And they're like, well, shit. Like, now what do we do? They're trying to plan other stuff. 4 days later, the door to the bar opens up. It's Mike. And he's like, what's up, motherfuckers?
Like, oh, doing fake guns. He's like, pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, pew, 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 pew. I'm thirsty.
All I could picture was that scene from Jaws with the pull zoom. You know, where he realizes that the shark is still in there. And, like, like, that's all I picture. Oh, my God. Mike says, quote, I'm dying for a drink.
I'm parched.
It's been a few days.
So they ask him what happened. Like, where has he been for a week? And he's like, it was the weirdest thing. I got picked up by this cop and I woke up in a hospital. So what these idiots didn't realize was that when they were calling the hospital, they were asking for Mike Malloy. They weren't asking for Nick Mallory, which is a fake, like, identity that they gave him.
Yeah.
So they weren't even asking for, like, the right guy. So they're desperate. Nothing's fucking killed this guy. He's, like, invincible. And they're like, that's it. Fuck it. So they offer Mike an apartment to stay in. While he's sleeping, they fill the apartment with carbon monoxide. And on February 22nd, 1933, after a year of attempting to kill him, Mike finally dies.
Oh, boy.
So the guys go to collect the insurance. And the insurance companies are like, okay, when can we see the body? And the guys are like, I'm sorry, what? And they're like, yeah, we can't just give you the life insurance policy. Like, we need an autopsy. Like, a legit autopsy. So they panic, but they're like, well, this is like we don't really have a choice. They do an autopsy. And there's something that happens with carbon monoxide poisoning where you're like, your organs swell, I think. And so, like, they can easily tell when someone's been killed by carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
So, long story short, these guys clearly murdered him. The five men were put on trial and convicted. Hershey Green, who was a cab driver, went to prison. And then the other members were sentenced to death and executed by electric chair at Sing Sing in New York.
Wow.
So yeah, they were killed. And that is the incredible story of Iron Mike Malloy.
Dang.
Mike, I am raising my non-alcoholic beer to you, my man. You're a legend. You're amazing. I am so in love with this guy. When I was doing my research for this and we couldn't figure out where he, like, how he got here, like, how he got to the U.S. Kyle's like, he probably got here on the Titanic. Like, survived.
Yeah. Yeah, he survived the Titanic.
Thank you so much to Criminal and Wikipedia, Criminal Podcast and Wikipedia, and also the Dollop Podcast. So I had heard this story. It was one of the recent episodes of Criminal. And if you guys have heard Criminal, she's very Phoebe Judge, the host, she's very, like, she sounds very studious and very serious, you know. And even with her telling the story, I'm like cackling, like, I'm like, this is the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. And so I was like, I was thinking, I'm like, dude, the Dollop should do this, like, they should do this episode. And so I was about to email them, and then I search, and they did do it. They did it. It was like one of their first episodes. So of course the Dollop episode, if you guys get a chance to hear it, is just like absolutely hilarious. But yeah, so listen to that. I'm so sad that they killed him. Like, that does make me sad. Like,
yeah.
I wish he would have survived.
But I mean, he kind of won at the end anyway.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Never kill anybody for insurance. It doesn't work out. You'll always be, I watched enough Dateline to know that you'll be found. It won't work.
So,
oh my God.
Such a random, like, yeah, funny story.
Dude, when he said,
I like the guy that just kept going like, dude, we could just shoot him.
Yeah, Tough Tony.
And everyone's like, no, it's too easy. It's too obvious.
Just try to hit him with the car, try to make him freeze to death.
It's like when he said, when they were quoting him and he said, I have a wee bit of chill, like, I lost my goddamn mind. I laughed so hard. He fucking almost froze to death. And he's like, I'm a little cold.
He had to have been like a mutant or something.
Oh my God, it's amazing. I can't believe he drank that much poison.
Yeah.
And like, Jesus Christ.
Well, his body was used to being poisoned, so.
He probably was. Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, that's so crazy.
But that, the like oyster thing totally grossed me. I was like, oh my God, that's so gross.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of oysters.
I love oysters, but I don't want like oysters. Lukewarm bar oysters. Like, yeah, that's gross.
I've been sitting out. But yeah, I don't like oysters. And then to think of them like that is just.
Yeah, well, so anyways.
But anyway, the alcohol thing, the alcohol oyster thing is a myth, I heard, right?
Oh, is it?
I think so. I don't think it actually does anything.
I didn't know that was like a thing.
Let me see.
Until I read it.
Like, because I'm pretty sure I've had it. I didn't die.
Oh, I've for sure had, like, martinis and a whole dozen oysters. Like,
I had a shot with an oyster in it one time with,
like an uni shooter. I
remember who it was. But it was, like, it had that and it had, like, a little spicy thing in it. And, I mean, I just, like, swallowed it. I was just like, oh, I was just doing it because everyone else was doing it.
Yeah. You're like, peer pressure. Like,
go down my throat.
Didn't we have them at deadly.
No way, really?
And its potential damage to liver makes drinkers. Oh, I don't think it's like. I think if you do it a lot.
Oh yeah, who the fuck is having
oysters? I guess it's a thing. Like, people like to eat oysters while drinking alcohol.
Well, if that's what you do, you go to like a seafood place or steakhouse and you have like your martini with oysters. Like, that's like the happy hour thing. So yeah, I'm shocked that it's dangerous.
What does it say? It says, that's because alcohol consumption and its potential damage to the liver makes drinkers more vulnerable to a dangerous bacterium in the shellfish.
Oh, so it's because you're eating raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Don't eat oysters. Leave them alone.
No, I love oysters.
They're so good, though.
Well, would you rather have oysters or alcohol?
I'd rather have the alcohol.
I'm gonna have both.
So anyways, where can they find us?
But yeah, find us on Instagram at Microwave Coffee Podcast and email us at microwavecoffeepodcast@gmail.com. Yay.
All right. Well, thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Drink responsibly.
Stay safe.
Indoors. Yeah, wear your mask.
Don't eat oysters and drink.
Yeah, don't eat oysters and drink, apparently.
Yeah.
And wear a mask.
Yeah. Wear a mask.
All right.
Cover your nose.
See you next week.
Okay, bye. Could I get some more coffee?